answer you to. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. It is written, many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Mid the storms of doubt and unbelief we fear, stands a book eternal that the world holds dear. Through the restless ages it remains the same. 'Tis the book of God, and the Bible is its name. 'Tis the book that tells us of the Father's love, when he sent his Son to us from heaven above, who by richest promise creates hope within, for 'tis through his blood we are saved from every sin. 'Tis the book that tells us of the will of God, and the Savior's teaching while the earth he trod, how he soothed earth's sorrows and relieved its woe, through whom strength is given to conquer every foe. 'Tis the book that tells us of eternal life after faithful service in a world of strife, and this glorious triumph over death's dark fears is the world's best gift in an age of countless tears. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, astonished. At the conclusion of the Lord's famous Sermon on the Mount, the multitudes were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The authority of Jesus was evident as he said several times in that message, Ye have heard that it was said unto them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, Ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, Again ye have heard that it was said, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Ye have heard that it was said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, Ye have heard that it was said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Many would still be astonished today if they ever read his doctrine, or ever heard it preached. For one thing, nominal Christians will be astonished on the day of judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. A missionary in Europe told me of someone who asked him how many members were in his church. The missionary said, 60. He was asked how many attend services. He said, 60. Then the man said, My pastor would love to have that many in attendance in our church. The missionary asked how many attended, and he said, 6. The missionary said, How many members do you have in your church? The man replied, 4,000. 4,000 members, and only 6 attended the services. When he said only 6, he explained why. He said, The important thing in our church is to be a member of the church so that when you die, you may be buried in the church cemetery. Remember, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. But is it not true? In America, we have many nominal members of the church also. Is there any congregation that does not have members who attend services only on Easter and Christmas? Or several times during the year? Or about halftime? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. A good portrait of the nominal Christian is the treatment of Jesus when he was tried before Pilate in Matthew 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered unto him the whole band. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. They planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, a reed in his right hand, and then kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they took the reed and smote him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they put on him his garments and led him away to crucify him. Worship of the nominal Christian is an even greater mockery than the mockery of the soldiers of Pilate. Regarding this same incident in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In Matthew, he gives his answer. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. It is with astonishment they may hear these words on the day of judgment. Another astonishment will be in reference to those who will say, Did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now, who were these famous prophets who were told to depart? How about that famous prophet Balaam in Numbers 22? Balaam was a great prophet, and when he blessed others, they were blessed. And when he cursed them, they were cursed. Balak, the king of Moab, tried to hire him to curse Israel. Balaam consulted the Lord and was told he could not curse those whom God blessed. Balaam refused to curse Israel and told them if they would give him a house full of gold, he would never go beyond the word of God to do more or less. Balak sent back more distinguished messengers with a bigger offer. And then God told Balaam, when he was asked, "Go with the men. There are many who believe the word, and then they find out what the Lord says does not fit into their plans. They consult the Lord again, thinking what they heard the first time was not a good translation. Perhaps a scholar told them, 'The scripture does not say what you thought it said. It really does mean something else.' When that happens, the Lord will always say, 'Go with the man.' The Lord will always tell you to do as you please, if you don't want to do as his word pleases." Balaam was a great prophet. One time he prophesied the coming of Jesus. In Numbers 24:17, he said, "I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall arise out of Israel." Balaam said in Numbers 23:10, "Let me die the death of the righteous." But with all of that, in Numbers 23, verse 8, he died in battle, fighting against Israel. "Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name do many mighty works? Then will I profess unto them in that day, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.'" Peter gives us the real reason for the fall of Balaam, as well as many others today, in 2 Peter 2:15. "Forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the example of Balaam, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. These are they of whom the Lord will say, 'Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you.'" Another one of those great reluctant prophets was the high priest Caiaphas. After the resurrection of Lazarus, the chief priest had a council and came to the conclusion that Jesus must be stopped before all the people will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and nation. But the arrogant high priest Caiaphas told them, "Ye know nothing at all. Nor do you take account that is expedient for you, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." Caiaphas said more than he thought he said. It was God's will that Jesus die for the whole world, that all might not perish. John adds this explanation. "Now this he said, not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might gather into one all the children of God that are scattered abroad." Unknowingly, Caiaphas preached a great gospel message and then condemned the Lord to die on the cross. Then how about Judas Iscariot? In Matthew 10, the Lord Jesus sent out 12 apostles to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. "Freely ye received, freely give." Judas was one of them that was commissioned. He had the same charge, the same gifts to preach as the others. And yet in Matthew 26:15, we hear him bargain with the chief priest. What are you willing to give me? And I will deliver him unto you. In all three cases, Balaam, Caiaphas, and Judas, the faithful preaching of the message of God was compromised by the love of money or the pride of high position. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then there are many who have heard, who have never heard his doctrine, who are astonished. The people that were astonished that day were not the only ones in the Word of God who were astonished at his doctrine. Alien sinners will also be astonished, according to Daniel 5. Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was astonished at his doctrine. Belshazzar made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while his heart was merry, called for the golden and silver cups that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple at Jerusalem, that the king and his wives, his concubines, and his lords might drink therefrom. At that time, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote over against the candlestick on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. His knees smote one against another. Both he and his lords were astonished when they saw the handwriting on the wall, even though they did not understand what it said at that moment. Then there was Sergius Paulus, who was astonished on Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 13. Many today would be just as astonished as the audience that day when they heard Elymas, a sorcerer, withstand the preaching of Paul. What a shock it was when Paul fastened his eyes on him and said, O thou full of all wicked villainy and guile, thou son of the devil, how long wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And straightway there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the governor saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. A similar thing happens today, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should dawn on them. They were astonished at his doctrine then, and they would be astonished today if they ever heard it. Actually, every alien sinner will be astonished at his doctrine on the judgment day, because Jesus tells us in John 12:48, He that rejecteth me hath one that judges him. Even the word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Every alien sinner on that day will be astonished that Jesus really did mean what he said in Mark 16:15-16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And when Jesus had finished these words, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And now the conclusion of the whole message. Everyone, therefore, that heareth the words of mine and doeth them is likened unto a wise man who dug deep and built his house upon the rock. Then the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine, and doeth them not, is like unto a foolish man, who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. King David tells us of that rock in Psalms 40, verse 2. David said, "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." And then Jesus puts further emphasis on the words when he says in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The house built on that rock is in place when the rain descends and the floods come." King David again gives us a good description of the floods that came in Psalms 18, verse 4, when he tells us, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." David was referring to the time when King Saul was determined to kill him in 1 Samuel 24. Then Saul took 3,000 men out of all Israel and went out to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. 3,000 men seeking to kill anyone would make them afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, the floods of ungodly men are still trying to inundate the church today. Read or look at the news today. The flood of ungodly men is everywhere like a tidal wave. Then not only did the rain descend and the floods come, but the winds blew. These words may be more than a metaphor of hard times. Paul speaks of the winds that blow in Ephesians 4, verse 4, when he said, "Be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness, after the wiles of error." Doctrine today is decided by which way the wind is blowing. Jesus mentioned that wind of false doctrine when he asked the multitudes who went out to hear John preach in the wilderness, "What went ye out to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" John was not shaken by the prevailing winds of false doctrine. Those who do are building their house on the foundation of sand, and great will be the fall thereof. When Jesus comes again, he will be looking for that wise man that built his house on the rock. He said as much in the final words of Matthew 24. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to render them their food in due season? Blessed is that man whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord tarrieth,' and shall begin to beat his servants, and shall eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he knoweth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be the gnashing and the weeping of teeth." My God, I mark with fear how many hopes decay, and like the foolish builder's house fall in the trial's day. Perhaps amidst this throng thou dost a soulless spy, whose towering hopes are built on sand. I ask, "Lord, is it I?" 1,000 doubts arise. I bring them all to thee. Am I unconsciously deceived? Lord, search my heart and see. Oh, teach me deep to dig, down to the solid rock. And when tornadoes round me sweep, my soul shall bear the shock. Jesus, thou only art the firm foundation stone. Firm as the eternal hills art thou, I build on thee alone. Cemented fast to thee, no stone is laid in vain. My hope defies the assaults of hell, the flood, the winds, the rain. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel, just as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition.